that have slowly become a regular part of everyday basketball conversations. There are the other things, weirder things, more specific things, more intricate things. For example, did you know that NBA teams count how many times a player is the last person across half court during a game? That's something they keep track of. I would lead the league in this category. I would set unbreakable records in this category. I would be the Wilt Chamberlain of this category. And did you know that NBA teams count literally how many times a player dribbles the ball during a game? My favorite credit of this stat? Klay Thompson one time scored 43 points in a game while somehow only dribbling the ball 4 individual times. He also one time scored 60 points on just 11 dribbles, which is maybe even crazier than 43 points on 4 dribbles. And did you know that NBA teams count how many hours of good sleep a player gets? I would be the Wilt Chamberlain of this category as well. I would put up untouchable good sleep numbers. They would hang my good sleep number records from the rafters of every arena in the league. NBA teams even count how much salt is in a player's saliva at any given moment. They do this to help customize a player's sports drink during games for maximum recovery efficiency. And so I say again, everything in basketball is measured. Everything in basketball is counted and quantified and computed. And yet, no matter how expansive the list of various pinpoint-specific statistical categories gets, some basketball things remain uncountable. Some basketball things remain unquantifiable. Some basketball things remain uncomputable. More poetry than calculation. More art than numerical value. More feeling than data processing. And thus, expensive basketball. Describing something that happens on a basketball court as feeling expensive is something that you likely have never done, but also an idea you likely fully understand without anyone having ever explained it to you before. And as proof of that, consider this hypothetical. Pretend that, for reasons unspecified and undeclared, you are sitting alone in a booth in a well-populated diner one evening. And pretend that, also for reasons unspecified and undeclared, a stranger walks over, sits down across from you, then takes his cell phone out of his pocket. And pretend that, once more for reasons unspecified and undeclared, he plays 2 clips for you on that phone, the first of which being a video of Ray Allen shooting a jump shot, and the second of which being a video of Joakim Noah shooting a jump shot. And pretend that, yet again for reasons unspecified and undeclared, he then says to you, "I'm now going to ask you one single question about those videos, and if you get the answer wrong, I'm going to shoot you in the face with this gun, thus killing you." And then he sets a loaded gun on the table directly in front of him. And pretend that, one final time for reasons unspecified and undeclared, you make no protestations of the situation and have no questions about how it was you who ended up in such a predicament. You do not stress test his assertion even 1%. You simply reply, "Okay, I agree to the terms of this scenario. I have watched the 2 videos you have shown me and will now answer 1 question about them. And if I get it wrong, you will shoot me in the face with that gun, thus killing me." He says, "Okay, the question is this. The 2 videos you just watched, the first of which being Ray Allen shooting a jump shot, and the second of which being Joakim Noah shooting a jump shot, which of those jump shots feels more expensive? And remember, if you get this wrong, I'm going to shoot you in the face with this gun, thus killing you." Were all of that to happen, and were the threat of legitimately being shot in the face suddenly dangling perilously in front of you, you would have 0 fear in your bones. Because despite the fact that you had never once ever previously had a conversation about basketball things that felt expensive, or ever even considered the idea of basketball things feeling expensive, and despite the fact that ascribing any sort of feeling to any sort of thing is often nebulous and almost exclusively subjective, you would know with absolute certainty that